Hi, so I'm going to talk slightly less about the shale gas issue and broaden things out a bit more into Scotland's energy future again. A lot of the thinking behind this came from the paper that you have on the chair. So I was the chair for the Royal Society of Edinburgh Working Group on options for Scotland's gas future, but I've broadened this talk out somewhat to cover a more broader energy perspective. So some of these statistics you've seen before, so I'm going to put them up again and then I'm going to remove some of them. So if we look at the current electricity generation mix in Scotland, you have around 10% gas, 35% nuclear, these are Scottish Government statistics, 20% coal and 35% renewables are the main sectors. Obviously renewables has grown a lot, but in 2016, Longannet is set to close and that section of coal will go. And by 2023, the two nuclear power stations will be scheduled for decommissioning, and that has removed almost, well, over half of Scotland's electricity generation. That will mean that Scotland will import significantly from the rest of the UK. And at the moment, until we invest more in it and we solve the storage problem, we also need to import for baseload energy anyway, because renewable energy is unsteady and can't be relied upon for a steady baseload. So you can only do that, this amount of renewables for your production, if you have baseload from somewhere else, which in our case is the rest of the UK all of the time. So there is a need to import that. But also, I think, coming back to what we're talking about today, if you look at Scotland's whole energy consumption, you can see that that electricity sector is actually quite a small proportion of Scotland's energy consumption. And Scotland, the major energy construction lies in heat. And that is almost all gas. So there's only a small percentage that is not. So energy, there's a lot of confusion about the difference between energy and electricity, and they are not the same thing. Okay, so if we assume that Scottish Government is very successful and it meets its carbon targets, there is still an issue with reducing current gas consumption. So you can replace some of the renewable capacity. You're going to take off the nuclear and the coal offline, which will help. But you've still got to reduce that sector that is heat consumption. So at the moment, there is, I've got four different projections as you go out to 2035 here, and they're from National Grid. They were done for DEC, and they have various scenarios that underlie them. And the reason the low carbon purple one here is so high for gas consumption is because more of the coal that goes offline is being replaced by gas. So actually the greener, the sort of low carbon future looks more gas heavy. So, okay, so now I'm going to come back to a bit of what we did in the report. We looked at four different options for sourcing gas, really on a UK basis, but also Scottish basis. So there is demand reduction, you can import, and you can produce on or offshore. And the way we've looked at this is to take several different categories, which are safety, health and well-being, environment, climate change. We've looked at different factors in the economics, so how much it might cost government to do something, how much there is in terms of an industry for economic growth, but also what the economic cost will be to the consumer and what the impact might be. Then there are issues of viability that we talked about a minute ago with shale gas. There are issues for other things as well. There are major energy security issues. And there is also something that we haven't discussed yet, which is about environmental and social justice. We consume energy in the UK and we import, particularly with gas, if you take on a UK-wide basis, over half of that energy. That means from a social justice perspective that we don't take the impacts of what we're consuming. We're a wealthy nation, and somebody a long way away is dealing with the impacts of that and may or may not be getting any social benefits from having that impact. So social justice for me is an issue. So if you look at these, I'm going to go through each of these in terms of these categories. There's not time to go through each section, so I'll just pick out one or two things. So demand reduction is obviously something we want to do. It's a major thing that we need to do into the future. And we've talked about it a little bit already. In terms of heat demand reduction, we've been somewhat less successful in Scotland, but there has been demand reduction from 60,000 gigawatt hours to 48, and that's over an 8-year period, and it's been done through improvements in insulation, through heat pumps, and through district heating systems. And now the big issue, I think, with accelerating demand reduction rapidly, there are two. One is that it's expensive. It's basically Scottish Government grants. There's no way of making it an industry that you can sort of accelerate off and make money out of. It's really capital investment for Scottish Government that will do it. And look at the speed that we have taken on other renewables at a domestic level. It's been very, very slow and expensive. So definitely we need to do it, but there is probably limits to what we can achieve in terms of what governments have at the moment. And you also have to think about the fact that if you want to move us off heat, then you have to power houses somehow, and you have to produce heat somehow, and industrial gas heat. So we might need to convert some things to electricity. We already can't meet our electricity demand. So there are issues if the nuclear and the coal-fired stations are going off. Okay, if we look at importing, right, well, it's cheap. We do it because it's the most cost-effective option at the moment for a consumer, pretty well. But there are also other issues that are associated with it. It's you're producing gas, more gas if you import, so you produce it somewhere, so you will have climate change impacts to consider, but also things like the health and safety and the environmental impacts of production. You are not regulating as a nation. Somebody else is doing it. And some companies are better than others. And I would also say that you also need to think in terms of energy security about where the UK imports from. So, okay, Scotland itself might have energy security, but it is part of the UK. And if the UK can't produce and supply its gas, there will be queues at the gas stations, there will be social unrest, and Scotland is part of that, no matter what belief you might have had about independence. So it's there. So we are part of the same energy system, and 53% last year was imported. And we're importing from some nations that are fairly unstable. So we have Qatar here. This looks like a very large part of Norway, but actually the European pipeline system is backfilled from Russia and North Africa, which also have very unstable governments. So there are significant issues about energy security. I've talked about the fact if we're producing gas, there's carbon capture issues. Progress, okay, there is some, but it's grindingly slow. So we have technology developments. Yes, Peterhead is currently in a design phase, but it's Scotland's only project, and it will sequester 10 million tonnes over 10 years, not starting till 2020, which is the equivalent of the output from one of the turbines in the Golden Eye field. It's a very small amount. And we are not going anywhere near fast enough. The other thing I would point out, I had some discussions before this, but there is no country that has done this on an industrial scale that has proven that you can capture and store carbon at the rate that we require it if we carry on producing energy with the way we're producing it just now. Okay, so an option would be onshore gas production. I'm not going to say much about this, except to say that Scottish Government did commission an independent expert scientific panel. There's more than just shale gas. There are three different forms of unconventional gas that Scotland could get involved in. There's shale gas, coal bed methane, and underground coal gasification. And actually, it might be the case that coal bed methane has larger resources in Scotland, not in the UK, but for Scotland. So these are the areas for coal bed methane. They're part of that report that have been identified. These are the shale gas possibilities. There's media hysteria about all of these things, and actually the public has no idea whether you frack for any part of the unconventional gas system. There's talk about fracking for coal bed methane, which is not correct. It's completely confused. So this is a wonderful example, which the Times is slightly taking apart here. This was only on the 20th of October, about the fact that sand is a cancer risk. So let's not visit any of our beaches, hey? So it's sand, it's made of silicon. So, and I would like to point out that all of the independent expert panels have concluded that if the industries are well regulated, they can be safe. And this is about resourcing regulation. Now, although there's hysteria, I do accept why public has concern, and there is a good basis for it. So there are there have been significant problems with pollution in the US, but they are to do with poor regulation. And there are key differences that are already agreed for how the UK would be regulated. So, for example, the surface ponds have caused most of the groundwater contamination. It's not to do with fracking at all or extracting methane. It's the fact that the waters that come up from the fracking flip that come, the water that comes up with the gas is being stored in open surface ponds and they leak. And it's a simple thing to sort out, but it's been extremely poorly regulated. You can look at the other ones, but there are a number of differences. So if we look at the impact here, again, as with any other form of with the importing, really we're just talking about the impacts of production here. So it's environmental impacts and dealing with the climate change issues. What we have here also is the viability thing of can we do it? Do we have enough of an industry in Scotland? Okay, there was a little bit of a mention of offshore oil and gas. Onshore isn't our only option for producing. So offshore oil and gas production could increase. This graph down here shows exploration wells of the dark line. And these are reservoir development, but this is the exploration. And what you can see is that exploration in the North Sea has dropped significantly, and it's on a decline. This is for the North Sea. And if you want to provoke an enhanced oil and gas industry, it's pretty clear that that's not going to happen naturally currently, and that that will require some government investment and incentives to make that happen. Options might include high pressure, high temperature, deep water developments and tight gas. Okay, so I'm just coming to an end, but this is a summary of all four of the options from that report. I'm going to say expand again out in a minute, but I think the main point to get across from that is that there are no easy options. Yes, demand, but that can only be done at a certain pace. It's expensive and it has impacts on electricity production, which we can't meet. So we need to think about taking tricky decisions. And if we just stick our heads in the sand and import, we have real energy security issues in the UK. So just finally, I want to put Scottish policy back into a UK context. I know that this is a meeting about Scotland, but we are part of a UK energy system, and it's very difficult to separate the two things and actually make any sense out of it. The current policy relies on the UK meeting its electricity needs and importing across the border, which will be nuclear new build if the UK is to meet as a whole its carbon targets. So nuclear energy is coming here anyway, one way or another. I would also say that we need to think about the fact that we already import over 50% of our gas needs. When we convert from coal and we increase our gas needs, that number is set to go up. Do we really want those energy security issues? So my final thing is just to say the question we should be asking, I think, is not should we produce shale gas, because if we do it on an issue-by-issue basis with the public, the answer is likely to be no. And politicians, in my experience, are not much different. But how would the UK sort? What we should be asking is how do we want to source the UK's future energy requirements? What balance of portfolio do we want? What energy security risk should we accept? So the RSE recommendation was that there should be public participatory decision making. There are different ways of doing that. You can have energy policy made through using things like citizens' panels where you educate people, but somehow we need to get the public moving away from this idea of not in my backyard and towards the idea that they expect to plug their phone in and it to work, and they need to think about how that happens. So they need to consider how they do that. If they say no to domestic production, they are by default saying yes to something else if their energy needs are met. And I don't think there's a good understanding of that. So my view is that we need a publicly informed decision-making process. It's critical that we have one and that we up the level of that debate and that discussion. And that if we don't do that, we're likely to end up in a crisis. In 2013, the UK was one day away from not having gas, one day. And crisis-led policymaking will lead to poor decisions and very poor regulation, and then we will have environmental impacts.